Yeah, all the time. Yeah, and it's good to be together. It's good to just spend time together and encourage one another and build one another up, isn't it? And I'm not Gerald Coates, although there's nobody in the front row apart from Ness. And she's used to it. Steve's got to sit down. But that word that Steve brought, that, you know, the yoke, where, you know, don't be unevenly yoked. You know, that's really important for us, isn't it? And the picture of a couple of oxen ploughing a field, both yoked together, just taking the strain, just pulling. And sometimes, you know, what the farmer will do is put a young oxen next to an old one, yeah, because he will learn the ways. And you can be yoked together like that, but if you a little bit pulling to the left and the old master wants to go straight on, it's going to be hard work. You know, let's just make sure we get in line with the Word of God. Let's get in line with what God is doing, and then you'll find things go much, much easier. Things are a lot, lot lighter. And it's sort of, I suppose what I'm saying this morning is going to follow on a little bit from that, and it's going to follow on a little bit from what I spoke about last time, which was an encouragement, a reminder from Psalm 91, wasn't it, where it starts off that he who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, that we've got a dwelling place there, that we can dwell with the Almighty. And what does that mean? You know, it is something that requires us, by the will of our mind, to follow him. Yeah? God has done so much for us. There are so many promises for us that are in his word. But we've got to align ourselves with him. So I suppose what you could title this is being effective in our Christian walk. You know, so this is following on from that. But I want to just sort of pick out a couple of things, really. What does God require from us? We can make things so complicated, can't we? You know, you'll get theologians that will tell you, yeah, but this and that and the other, and you just think, I don't know where I'm going with all this. God's gospel is not complicated. It's very straightforward. We're here by the grace of God. You know, it's his grace, his mercy, that affords us a relationship with him. And that is a wonderful thing. And that is something that we've really got to get hold of. Hosea 6 says this, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So that's what God wants from us, because God is merciful to us. We must be merciful to those around us. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So where do we get knowledge of God from? We have to read his word. We have to get into his word. We have to get to know him. That's what God desires. Micah says, he has shown you this, O man, what is good. What does God, what does the Lord require of you but to love, but to do just this, or do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? That's quite straightforward, really, isn't it? You know, that we're to walk humbly before our God. We're to love mercy and be just in our decisions. That's quite a straightforward requirement. I think we can all get hold of that, can't we? And I think it's lovely. It all starts with us. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Simple as that. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. But that's just step one, isn't it? That's where we start. That's the start of our journey. Our life group has been going through Philippians, and one of the themes that runs through Philippians all the time is that this is a journey, that we are being perfected. We are not perfect. We're on this journey. Paul talks about running a race. You know, the race has a start and it has a finish. When you hear the gun go and off you go, you haven't finished. You're being perfected. You're en route. You're going. And you can be distracted. You can go all sorts of directions if you want. It just makes it a bit longer and you're not likely to win. So let's just keep focus on what he wants from us. But that's sort of, I suppose, almost by way of introduction. Where I want us to focus this morning is in 2 Peter. So if you want to look at 2 Peter and the first chapter. And I want to just look at what Peter says that will make us effective in our walk. That's really where I want to go today. So verse 3 says this, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. That, we just read that, but actually, just think about what that is saying. His divine nature has given us everything we need for a godly life. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? It's His divine nature that's given us this. You know, it's not just any old thing, here you go, off you go. God's divine nature affords us this. So in my eyes, you know, I sort of think, right, I've got to look up here. I've got to concentrate. I've got to focus. God's divine nature has done this for us. And it's given us everything that we need for a godly life. So there's nothing missing. So unfortunately, I've got no excuse if I miss. I can't say, oh yeah, but you didn't tell me that. Or I think. And how? Through our knowledge of Him. What did Hosea say? God requires knowledge of God more than burnt sacrifices. It's up to us. We've got to gain that knowledge. We've got to spend time to gain that knowledge. And again, it's something I think I said in our last home group, or life group, was that anything that has any value costs. Doesn't it? I don't care what it is, if there's value, there's a cost. God so valued you, it cost Him His Son. That is a remarkable valuation, isn't it? How much do we value our relationship with God? How much are we prepared to pay to further the word that came through Jean this morning? Spend time with Him, to further our relationship with Him. How much are we prepared to actually spend that time to develop that relationship? If it's worth having, it's going to cost. Nothing is cheap. Nothing that's cheap is really worth having, is it? He's given us very great and precious promises so that we may participate in the divine nature. That's what it says. That's what I read just now. There are many, many promises in God's word that help us through this, that has given us everything we need for life. But those precious promises mean that we can participate in the divine nature. We can have the nature of God within us by His Spirit. And that's remarkable, isn't it? So if we have a look at this, let's just have a look at a couple of scriptures that would just underline that. Ephesians says that in Ephesians 4, that you will put on the new man, which is created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. God is holy. His nature is holy. We can have the righteousness of God. We can move to the holiness of God. It's not something that's unobtainable. It's something that God is perfecting in us. It's something that we attain as we run that race, as we move down that journey of life. And Hebrews 12 tells us that our earthly fathers will chastise us, it says in the scriptures. He will chasten us. Why? Because He loves us, because He wants us not to go down the wrong path. So there is that necessary order in life that we need to follow, and God will do that for us. He does it for our profit, that we may be partakers in His holiness. That's what Hebrews tells us. You know, that when we know the Father, and the Father loves us, as a father loves a son, so God will love us, and He will correct us, and it's not pleasant at the time. You know, you've done wrong, you need to be directed. But it's for our goodness, it's for our benefit, that we may become holy. 2 Corinthians is the one that I love, though. There is a new creation. Yeah? For we know that our earthly house, this tent that we're in now, and a tent talks about something that's temporary, doesn't it? Yeah? It's moving on. My back's sore this morning. I should be glad to get rid of this tent. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, and it's eternal in the heavens. That's what Corinthians says. That's what he tells us. But he says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit, a guarantee. So we have the guarantee that we're going to make it one day. The Spirit of God is our guarantee. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, praise God. Eh? The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, and he has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing the trespasses to them as has committed to us, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He has reconciled us to God. And that's some of the amazing promises, if you like, that I've just picked out that Peter is referring to that enable us to participate in the divine nature. We're on this journey, and that those promises help us to move towards righteousness and holiness, that we may become more like God. And so Peter goes on then to say, for that very reason, those amazing promises make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you go. As a result of having those amazing promises, I have to make every effort to start adding, to start that journey, to start moving down that route that the Lord would have us go down. And if I can do those in increasing measure, they will prevent me from becoming ineffective and unproductive. In other words, if I do them, I can start to be an effective Christian. I can start to be somebody that the Lord works through. But it's all a gift of God. The grace that I need, the mercy that I need, the love that I need from God is a gift from God to be able to do that. If I am trying to do that in my own strength, so if I think I can be arrogant enough to become the lead oxen in that yoke, I'm going to be pulling and it's going to be hard work. Yeah, I need to make sure that I keep my station, that I understand where I am in Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That permanent building. So, that little chain that Peter spoke about, when we were born again, when we said, Lord, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord and Savior, that took faith. That faith is a gift from God, isn't it? That faith is there. And Peter says, right, what we need to do is add to that faith. And faith is being sure of the things we hope for, that hope that we have. Not a worldly, vain hope that, oh, I hope that might happen. You know, there's substance there. It's something that's an anchor for our soul. So we add to that faith goodness. So what's goodness? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? So again, we need the Spirit of God in us to do it. And how do we get fruit? How does a tree bear fruit? It grows, puts its roots down, it draws up goodness from the ground, it becomes productive, it produces fruit. We need to get our roots into the Word of God, and we now allow the Spirit of God to work through us. Add to goodness knowledge. How do we attain knowledge? Read his word. Yeah? Read, read, and read again. What do we value? Add to knowledge, self-control. Well, with self-control, there's a clue there, isn't there? It's self-control. I need to learn how to control myself. But it's also fruit of the Spirit. We need the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to enable us to be able to administer self-control. Perseverance to self-control. I got to persevere. It's not an easy race. Nowhere in all the promises that you read in God's word does he say, it's going to be easy, lads, off you go. It's going to be hard work. In actual fact, that hard work, that suffering, gives us backbone, gives us substance. Godliness. Paul says to Timothy, now, godliness with contentment is of great gain. And I think that's a wonderful verse. Can we be content with what we've got? Can we be content with our godliness? Further on, he says, but you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So we've got to pursue it. We've got to pursue that godliness. And then from godliness onto brotherly kindness. That's an act of the will, isn't it? We've got to be kind to one another. And sometimes it takes a big act. Sometimes it's an easy thing. Let's be honest. You know, that's how it is, isn't it? And then to brotherly kindness, love. And if you want to know more and more about love, I think 1 John is a really interesting book to read. And in there, he tells us that let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. It also says if you don't love, then you don't know God. You know, so those are the things that Peter picks out that will take some diligence on our part to pursue. It will take time for us to actually get into and make a commitment. But we've got to make every effort to add these things, is what Peter implores us to do. And then if we possess these qualities in increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That's a wonderful statement. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will not stumble. You know, we're en route. We're going to make that end goal. We're going to get to that finishing line. Unfortunately, we will stumble at some point because we won't do all this just like that. We won't get to that place where we are full of goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love all in an instant. It's a journey. We will get there. But as we get there, the Lord will give us help and he will give us strength. So that's, I suppose, the follow-on from what I said the last time I spoke here, and that was, you know, to dwell in the presence of the Almighty. So how do we dwell? How do we spend time with him? It's by following those basic things. Let's not make it too complicated. Let's understand where the Lord would have us be, where our focus is, where our understanding is, that we can run the race with determination and his presence. Thank you, Steve.